Ralph McLean.
Country.
On BBC Radio Ulster.
Hello again. It is indeed Ralph McLean Country. It's BBC Radio Ulster. Time for your weekly two-hour fix of the very finest in Americana and roots music, old and new. I do hope you can stick around for the next 2 hours, here through to 10 o'clock, bringing you amazing tracks like this. An unlikely, but really rather wondrous, bluegrass version of a David Bowie classic. This comes from the Cole Porters, fronted of course by the great Sid Griffin, used to be the main man in the Long Riders, if you remember them. Seminal country rock band, saw them way back in the mid-80s. Seems like an eternity ago. Still making great music with the Cole Porters, so, and this is a great cover of Heroes. Welcome to the programme.
I wish I could swim like dolphins. Like dolphins can swim, though nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever. We can be heroes just for one day.
Listening to BBC Radio Ulster, it's Ralph McLean with you here. Hope you're enjoying the music tonight. The Byrds and that truly classic album, Sweetheart of the Rodeo from 1968, our featured album this evening. What a great album it is too, and I mentioned that whole concept of doing a history of 20th century American music that was the original idea. That's a good example of perhaps what Roger McGuinn was thinking as the leader of the Byrds when that project was first mooted, because that is, of course, an old timeless country soul ballad, originally in the hands of William Bell. Absolutely beautiful, You Don't Miss Your Water. And there it is, reinterpreted in a country style. And it's a very country-flavoured ballad anyway, although it's a soul track. So blending those genres is what the Byrds were doing at that time. And of course, when Parsons arrived, he was only 21, Graham Parsons, when he arrived within the band structure, he aimed to set about what he called the cosmic American music. And you can hear that through the more country-orientated stuff that Graham put into the band. The lineup of the Byrds at that time was Roger McGuinn on lead vocals and guitar, Chris Hillman on bass and vocals, great writer that he was as well, Kevin Kelly on drums, and then Graham Parsons wheeled in as the sort of new member, if you like. He did bring some great tunes to the Sweetheart of the Rodeo sessions, and one of them you've already heard, the timeless Hickory Wind, which he'd written with his buddy from the International Submarine Band, who were, again, pioneers of what we now know as country rock. He had written Hickory Wind with Bob Buchanan as part of that particular group, and he brought that with him to the sessions for the Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And he also brought this tune, and this is an alternate take of one of Graham Parsons' other tunes from the album 100 Years From Now. This is a rehearsal, take two in actual fact, of this Graham Parsons original. And there is, of course, controversy around Sweetheart in that a lot of Parsons' vocals were taken off once the album was ready for release, because Lee Hazlewood claimed he owned the rights to Graham Parsons as a performer, and the International Submarine Band more specifically, which meant Parsons' vocals were erased and re-recorded by Roger McGuinn. Some have said that was just because McGuinn didn't like Parsons getting too much involvement, too much control of the Byrds. Others say it's just a legal thing, and they were reinstated when Sony released the deluxe edition of the album. Here then is rehearsal take two of 100 Years From Now, the Byrds from Sweetheart of the Rodeo.
He's going to count it off. I am. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Day. Will the people still feel this way? Still say the things that they're saying right now?
Talk to me about Little Colored Balloons, the track we're going to hear, the session track we're going to hear now, because it's a very dark story and a very personal story, like all your songs, John. This happened to you. This is a near-death experience.
I did die, yeah. I was dead for almost 7 minutes. In San Francisco, heroin now is sold in the Tenderloin, but then it still is, but it was primarily sold at the intersection and the sort of alleyways around 16th Street and Mission, and there's a lot of these sort of they call them SROs, single resident occupancy hotels, that are just like these flop houses, and a dealer lived there, and I went in and I had been off a dope for a few days, and I shot up, and then I shot up again, and I should have known. And I still wonder about that a lot. I mean, it makes no sense. The amount that I used was, it was excessive, and I remember the dealer and his girlfriend saying, get up, and I just sat down on the floor, and I said, it's all right, I'm fine with it, and that's all I remember. And then I remember waking up in an ambulance with an adrenaline needle in my chest and ice water all over me and just this pain. And, I mean, just this horrendous, like, sickening pain. And I still didn't quit.
That wasn't, even that didn't not,
no,
stop you?
No, that wasn't it. No, no.
What did stop you?
There was a time when I couldn't use enough to get well without getting really close to overdosing every time I did, and Chuck Prophet, I called Chuck and I was crying, and I was at the studio, and I asked Chuck for help, and he took me to a hospital, and they said, we don't admit heroin addicts anymore. And he said, oh, that's not why we're here. And they said, well, then why are you here? And, you know, Chuck, he said he has a gun, he's going to kill himself. And I said, no, I didn't. And I didn't, you know. And he was like, are you going to believe me or the junkie? And they looked at me and they were like, ah. And so they're like, yeah, you're 51-50. I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, 72 hours. And he was like, see you in 3 days, buddy. And just walked out and, you know, called my mom, called my wife, called everybody. That was it. And I don't know. Saved my life in a lot of ways. A lot of these people have. Michael being one of them. Yeah.
We're going to take it now in session, Little Colored Balloons.
he was always very good at picking songs, because he obviously wasn't a songwriter, picking songs that showed up men's feelings, you know. And it wasn't all about you. He wasn't blaming the woman for leaving him and stuff like that. It was basically men's fault, you know. As if, you know, every day he was feeling more, and he saw that in himself.
That's a good point. And much like Elvis, who you mentioned there, Elvis was a great picker of songs.
Excellent. As was Frank Sinatra, who we mentioned earlier.
Who got another mention there. You know, they knew to pick songs that suited them, but also spoke to their audience as well. And it's a skill in itself. It may not be a skill of songwriting, but the skill to pick songs. And George definitely had that.
Definitely. One of those things I think the heavy drinkers or alcoholics do, they do have moments of clarity. And when they have those moments of clarity, they know they're doing wrong, and they know their lives are going down the tubes.
Well, on to Tammy, and Tammy comes on the scene. An amazing artist, Tammy. I know I've always loved Tammy's voice. I've loved Tammy's story as well, because it in itself is an incredible thing. Real dirt poor background and making her way in a male dominated world. How does her path cross with George then?
They get together, as a lot of the sort of, you know, the Melbourne Montgomery's thing was going, and George just got divorced, and people thought we could put these two stars together, an up-and-coming star and an established star. She can piggyback on his success, and then we can make her a solo star as well.
And romance blossomed.
And again, it was a very sort of embattled and embittered marriage at times. But they made absolutely fantastic music together. Basically, what they used to do on stage when they came to do this song was reenact their wedding vows with a fake preacher. Or maybe he wasn't fake. Maybe they just got a priest, whoever the local preacher was, in to sort of marry them again every night.
This
on
is life
tour.
Imitating art, isn't it? It's
wonderful.
Everybody goes on about the story of George and Tammy, and they are playing up to it with a song like this. The Ceremony, George and Tammy together.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered together in the presence of God and these witnesses to join this man and this woman in the bonds of holy matrimony. Do you, Tammy, take this man, George, to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and to cherish until death do you part?
I'll take this man, and by him I'll stand. I promise that we'll never part.
Call him drunk in Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not that whiskey drinking Indian or Marine who went to war.
Kinky Friedman, singer, songwriter, novelist, cigar aficionado. How do you describe yourself? There are many facets to you, aren't there?
A defender of strays.
I like that. It's simple.
And that's about all I've got left. My only friends are stray dogs and old carriage horses. And you.
And me. I'm always your friend. It's always great to see the Kingster back in Ireland. You've been here in several
times. Great to be back. This is part of the Bipolar World Tour, which will do a couple shows, three shows in Ireland. 28 shows, actually, in a row already done. Just five to go, and one of them's in Germany. And you do know that the Germans are my second favorite people. And my first is everybody else. Hey. Lord.
You got all the gags, Kinky. You got all the gags. It's been an amazing career, you know, and all these different facets to the career as well.
It's a curse of being multi-talented.
You kind of spread yourself, don't you, across all these different disciplines. Yeah, does anyone take precedence? Do you see it all as writing, for example? Do you see as writing?
That's too high. You know, it's a very high calling to be a musician or a writer. I think politician is where I'm destined, and even though you know my definition of politics, poly means more than one, and ticks are blood-sucking parasites. but I think there's politics in my near future, yeah.
You did run for governor of Texas a few years back, 2006.
2006 as an independent candidate for governor, and Jesus Christ could not win as an independent in Texas. In fact, we won that race every place but Texas. But this time, I think I'll run as a Democrat in a more serious race, as an old-time Harry Truman-style Democrat, to legalize marijuana and legalize gambling in the state of Texas, and it will get a lot of nonviolent offenders out of prison when I'm governor, and make Willie Nelson very happy, I think.
We heard Sold American on the program, and I have this very romanticized image of Nashville in the early 70s as a glory period, as a golden period.
Oh, it was.
And Christofferson kicking off and all these great icons. You were there, you were doing your thing, you were in that scene. Was it as good as I like to think it was?
Oh, I think it was. As Willie says, why Chris, Lord? Because Willie, that's a country music joke from us folks. But Willie left Nashville in 71 to come back to Texas, and Chris was just making it and was hitting it big, actually. And, you know, you wonder, those guys, Roger Miller, Willie, Chris, Shel Silverstein, maybe. There's a handful of them, Johnny Cash. They wrote some real classic, great songs. And today you see Nashville with these long brothels of corporate publishing songwriter appointments where you got three guys in a room all down the hallway in little rooms writing. And in 30 years, you know, nobody has written Hello Walls. And nobody's written King of the Road or Silver Wings or Sunday Morning Coming Down. Hasn't been done. I guess these songs they're writing now are making money for somebody. But that was a great era, and I guess Chris was the most talented janitor in Nashville.
He used to clean out the ashtrays in the studios,
right,
didn't he?
That's right, yeah. And I got there just a little bit after that. I just, born too late. But there were still songwriters everywhere, and everybody staying up all night. And a very exciting time. There's a window of time to work with, and you really got to strike when you can.
Ricky Skaggs in fine form from 1983, that's Uncle Penn, a classic, and few can play with quite the style and panache of Ricky Skaggs. Hope you've enjoyed the music tonight. We're going to finish up with a tune from the combination of Dillard and Clark, and Doug Dillard, amazing banjo player and performer as he was, together with the melancholy genius of Gene Clark, formerly of the Byrds, of course. They came together for a couple of albums. This is from the fantastic expedition of Dillard and Clark, which no self-respecting country roots fan should be without a copy of this, in my opinion. This is Why Not Your Baby. Pure class. Hope you've enjoyed the programme. Back with you soon on BBC Radio Ulster. For now, though, from me, Ralph McLean, take care of yourself.
This has been a McLean Media production for BBC Radio Ulster. Bye-bye.
She wore a blue dress when she walked in the room, and in her eyes the look I saw was filled with gloom. Is this the question I would answer?